little toe-tapping Arizona homeowner rhythm for you. We invite you to call 1-888-767-4348 if you've got a question about any home improvement project you're trying to tackle, which is exactly how Mary got a hold of us, calling from Chandler. Let's see what Mary's trying to tackle today. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Rosie. I'm trying to tackle my air conditioning runs.
Okay.
Can I clean them myself, or do I need to get them professionally cleaned?
By air conditioning runs, you're talking about the metal ductwork.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, the stuff that's in the attic.
Uh-huh. How old is your home?
1972. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you been in the home all that time?
No.
Okay.
I'm a third homeowner.
How old is the existing air conditioning unit?
Well, one's about 15 years old, and the other one's not quite 10.
Okay. So two units that are both... the 15-year one is approaching the end of its economic life. The 10-year probably should have. Now, I've seen air conditioners last 30 years, but not very often. Okay, so cleaning the ductwork, Mary, is a little bit trickier than you might think. Now, you can remove the registers and reach in there as far as you can with your sponges and brushes and vacuums and clean the first 3 or 4 or 5 feet. But a ductwork system that's been in place since 72 probably ought to be cleaned all the way. And I tell people, don't clean your ductwork without having the appropriate personnel also clean the coils of your air conditioning system. So you'll see a lot of times people offering duct cleaning for $179. And you'll schedule it and they'll come out. That's per unit. It seems to be kind of the price. And they'll come clean one unit for that. And before they leave, they'll schedule to come back in about 6 months to let's do it again, keep it clean. Here's my thought on that. Mary, pay to have it done once completely. The air conditioning unit, the ductwork, the coils, the condensate pan, have it all done at one time. That's going to cost you about $400 to $500 per air conditioner. Then you maintain that clean system with a good filter, and we like to recommend paper pleated filters, and you aren't going to have to clean those ducts again for 10 to 15 years. So the services that just come in and blow dust and use a vacuum to vacuum out the loose dust in your ductwork really aren't giving you the clean ductwork or the clean air you might like to think they are. That's a hard job to do yourself. I don't know that the equipment can be rented. I would tell you to contact Arizona Chimney Sweep and Ductwork and get a quote for getting it clean properly, and then be saving your money for replacing some air conditioners, which I think will occur for you in the next couple or several years. So I hope that helps not only answer your question about cleaning ducts, but answers all Arizona homeowners' questions about how to get a duct clean. Cleaning the ducts with these services that don't take your air conditioner apart, as soon as the air conditioner comes on, they're blowing everything in the cabinet cavity, everything in the coil, right back in your ducts. You're really not cleaning anything. So be wary of that. I've said for years, I wouldn't have anyone clean my ducts that wasn't a licensed Arizona air conditioning contractor, because I don't want anybody taking my air conditioner apart that isn't a properly trained air conditioning technician.
72 would make it metal ducts, correct?
72 will definitely be metal ducts. Okay, metal box ducts, absolutely. All right, let's see if we can go to Jim in Peoria and see what he's up to. Mr. Jim.
Yeah, good morning. I am kind of a DIY, but I know my limits.
Okay.
So my project is extending my house and including it into the back patio.
Okay.
And so I had someone come out to tell me whether that wall with the Arcadia door is a bearing wall. They said it is, but because my purpose was to extend the vaulted ceiling inside all the way through to the back of the house. And it sounded like he was saying that the framing of the flat ceiling of the patio was supporting the roof above it. And I don't know, I just am having trouble seeing that. Did you know if that's typical, or can I beef up those two or three trusses above the patio to support the roof?
Okay. I'm going to try and draw a picture in my head. We've got a house where it's a pitched roof, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And the ridge line of that roof, let's just say it runs east and west, and your patio is off to the north. So do you want to now put a new ridge, a new hip roof onto that room addition?
Yeah, no. The patio is parallel with the trusses. That's a 8 feet by 14 foot patio. So what I want, that wall that is common to the interior, I want to remove that wall. I kind of left that part out.
Okay.
I want to remove that wall and make the exterior of the patio now the exterior of the house. So this vaulted ceiling inside carries all the way through.
How big, how much of that load-bearing wall do you want to remove? All of it? The width of the room?
Well, I guess my question is it really a load-bearing wall?
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. Absolutely. Yes, it is.
Okay. So I would probably want to remove about 8 feet of it.
Okay.
It doesn't come up to the center of the trusses in the attic,
okay.
But the width or the length of the patio.
Okay, eight feet is very doable, Jim, because the linear footings that are underneath that back wall will support concentrated loads. You're going to have to put a beam to carry that 8 feet of trusses, and you're going to have to put two posts on either side of that post, either side of that beam. We can go 8, 10, or 12 feet and not put supplemental footings and foundation in. Your lineal footing that's down there now is sufficient to carry the point load of an 8-foot beam. So you're fortunate there. If you wanted it to go to, you know, bigger than a garage door opening, 18, 20, 20. I mean, some of these were opening up to 30 feet. You know, we actually have to go in and put supplemental foundations in, huge beams and big posts. So yours can be done, but it is absolutely load bearing. And you're going to want an engineer to design that beam, and you're going to do it with a building permit. We're actually working with an engineering company right now that currently specializes in just doing this. And I'm going to take your number and phone number down and name, and I'll give you their phone number. You can just talk them through. They can look at your address by satellite, and they can probably talk you through exactly what you're going to need right there on the phone. You can assess their recommendations and advice and retain them to do a engineering drawing of it to go get a building permit and proceed from there. Now, when we extend the living quarters out onto a back patio, Jim, you're generally stepping down. Okay. That the city isn't going to allow that. They're going to have you wherever you want that new outside wall. They're going to have you bring a waterproof product, a masonry wall, a masonry stem wall, a concrete stem wall, up to the height of your existing finished floor. Then you have the option of keeping the step down or overpouring that and making it one surface. If you're planning on being in the house anytime at all, I would greatly encourage you, go ahead and raise the floor to finish floor level and allow it all to be at the same plane. It greatly enhances the appraisal of the property as opposed to stepping down into what everyone can tell was one time the back patio.
I was in a home like that very recently. It's also a huge trip hazard. Even though you know it's there, it's a very subtle drop. It's not like a step. It's a little trip edge. So it is, and it does look like add-on. So
and
it's
our
worth
little,
the time and effort.
And our little remodeling company, Rosie Wright Remodeling, we currently have four projects that are infilling sunken living rooms. So sans the step, get rid of the step. And even that infilling living rooms is so much more than a lot of people realize. We've got to do termite pretreat. We've got to do pinning with rebar to the existing slab and foundation. We've got to lift all the baseboard, the drywall, the furring strips up above the new level. We've got to raise electrical receptacles that are down there, get them back up to 12 inches above the new finished floor. It's actually quite a bit of work before you just go in there and slop in a bunch of concrete. So, but it's being done all the time. Jim, I hope that kind of guides you along. I will ring you and give you the name of this engineering company. It's actually a couple framers, carpenter framers with engineering licenses. And we've just kind of stumbled across them in the last 6 months. And this is exactly what they do. It's become such a big trend of opening up the backyard wall of your home to your patio.